one of the NFL's all-time great kickers, has written a novel that combines football with global jihad. We'll talk with the Denver Broncos' Jason Elam. And we'll reflect on the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. This is Jerry Johnson live from Criswell College. Join us as we look at today's news from the Christian worldview for Christ and culture.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
I have a dream.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Welcome to Jerry Johnson Live. For the next hour, this is your place for relevant discussion of topics in the news and in our culture from a Christian perspective. Later in the show, we'll open the toll-free lines for your questions and comments. You may also email us at talk@jerryjohnsonlive.com. Now, here is Penna Dexter.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Famous words from Dr. Martin Luther King. We celebrate his birthday today. Americans are celebrating all over the nation. And Barack Obama, presidential candidate, had something to say.
Unity is the great need of the hour. That's what Dr. King said. And it is the great need of this hour as well. Not because it sounds pleasant, not because it makes us feel good, but because it's the only way we can overcome the essential deficit that exists in this country. I'm not talking about the budget deficit. I'm not talking about the trade deficit. I'm talking about the moral deficit in this country.
Barack Obama was speaking yesterday in Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, at Martin Luther King's church. He referred in his speech to the biblical story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Then he quoted Martin Luther King on the great need of the hour. Then he reminded the congregation of something Martin Luther King had said, which was still applicable today, and he's talking about this moral deficit. Hillary Clinton, campaigning in South Carolina, also spoke about Dr. King. She says there is an obligation to fulfill his dream.
The dream is nowhere fulfilled, and now we are called to rise up, speak up, and finally get it done.
It's nowhere fulfilled. That's what Hillary Rodham Clinton says. No progress on race relations. Is that what she means? Well, as we celebrate this birthday, we will talk about Dr. King's life and his message. Did he have a conservative message on any of the points within his message? Did he look too much to government in some of the things that he recommended? What would he think of the candidacy of Barack Obama? We'll talk about those things a little bit later in the program. And John McCain won the South Carolina primary. Is Florida next? Is he going to win? Is it a three-person race? Or is it a four-person race? We will talk a little presidential politics. Right now we've got a fun interview because there's a new book out. It's a novel, and it's been written by an NFL player, Jason Elam. And the book is called Monday Night Jihad. All-pro kicker Jason Elam for the Denver Broncos has written the novel along with his pastor, who is the director of adult ministries at Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado, Steve Yon. They are both with me on the line to talk about football, jihad, Christianity, and this new book. And first I'll say welcome to Jason Elam. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Penna, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And Steve Yon also with us. Steve, thanks for joining us also.
Thanks for having us.
The two of you teamed up to write this book. And first of all, Jason, I guess I'll ask you, how does an NFL player have time to write a novel?
Well, it's hard. I've got four kids and, I am playing football. And so it's a pretty hectic schedule. But, you know, I feel like it was something that I was called to do, and so we found time. We had a great time writing it, and we're really having fun with the responses that we're getting so far.
Of course, many of you know that Jason Elam was drafted in the third round in 1993 in the NFL draft, and in 97-98 he won two back-to-back world championships with the Bronco. He was selected for the Pro Bowl in 1995. And Jason, talk about your experience that gives you some sort of an understanding of Islam sort of playing into writing this book.
Right. Well, I think it actually goes back even to when I went off to college. I went to the University of Hawaii from Atlanta. And as you can imagine, a kind of a southern boy going off to the University of Hawaii, I was just all of a sudden surrounded by all this different culture and diversity. And with that, there was a bunch of diversity in faith as well. And so it really made me question not only what I believe, but why I believe that. And, you know, at that time, there was no way that I could have defended my faith. I didn't know why exactly I believed what I believed. And so it started me on a big, long journey, and I think that's why I have such a heart for Christian apologetics now, and just you know, making a defense for the Christian faith. And I've been very blessed to been able to travel around, and I love going to the Middle East, and do a lot of touring of Israel and the Holy Land. And you know, this past year I was able to go over and do some teaching in Istanbul, Turkey, with some Muslim background believers from Iran, and just various things like that I've been able to do. And it's been a lot of fun, and just being able to interact with some of these people that come from different backgrounds, especially from, I was really intrigued by this whole Iran thing, just because they're giving up everything to become a Christian. Their families are holding funerals for them. They are dead to their families, and, you know, their lives are at stake if they are caught, you know, reading the Bible or just being a Christian. So, you know, I was able to kind of draw off a lot of those personal experiences, and then just various people that I know, and doing a lot of research and background that Steve and I both did for Monday Night Jihad.
Jason, I want to pick up on something that you just mentioned that I think is a concern to a lot of parents. I know it's been going through my mind as my children went off to college, and that is, you raise someone in the faith, you raise your child in the faith, but then they have an opportunity, for whatever reason, to go off to a major secular university. You had football sending you to the University of Hawaii. I actually have a niece at that school, and I know what you face. You face liberalism. You face a lot of questions to your faith. And so, you know, what was it, do you think, about your upbringing that allowed you to weather that?
Well, I think I did have a pretty solid foundation, and I had parents that prayed for me. I think that can't go unnoticed, and you know, but you're right. I mean, I was faced with a lot of liberalism and people that just wanted to take God out of the equation completely. So, you know, what I did when I went off to University of Hawaii is I really did question, you know, my faith, but I said I'm gonna try to put all my biases on a shelf as best I can. And what are the evidences for the Christian faith? You know, can the Bible be relied upon? Is it authentic? And that was just one little thing that I ended up doing a lot of research on, and came full circle after examining, you know, the manuscript evidence behind the Bible, examining the archaeology behind it, examining the prophecy behind it, and coming, you know, pretty much full circle that the Bible can be relied upon, and the Jesus in the Bible, who is this guy? And I did a lot of research on that, because there are so many different Jesuses out there. You know, you have the Muslim Jesus, the Baha'i Jesus, the Mormon Jesus, Jehovah's Witness Jesus. It just goes on and on and on, as 2 Corinthians 11:4 talks about the different Jesuses. And so the more I examined this, the more I said, you know what, Christianity is not a blind faith. There is so much evidence out there that God has provided.
All right. Jason's pastor is also with us. Of course, we're speaking with Jason Elam, co-author of Monday Night Jihad, All-Pro Kicker for the Denver Broncos. But also with us is co-author of the book, Steve Yon, and he is a pastor at Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. Steve, explain to us how you came to be the co-author of the book with Jason.
Well, it was an interesting process. Jason and I have, we've been friends for 6 or 7 years. He began attending the church where I'm on staff, and we built up a friendship from there, eventually started a small group. So we had that underlying friendship there, And Jason had this idea for a book, and he shared it with me. We had talked it through. But at no point had we actually considered me writing this with him.
Had you written other books?
No. This is we're both first time authors, and Jason was looking around for someone to come alongside him to write this. But the one thing he didn't want to do is to just give away his idea. And 6 months later, somebody comes back with a book. So I remember sitting at home one day, and I get this call from Jason, who's up in Alaska fishing, and he says, "Steve, would you consider writing this book with me?" And my first response was no, because I thought, I'm a pastor. I'm going to write some theological work. That must be my call, because I'm in the ministry. But the more I prayed about it, I realized that what I was really doing was putting God in a box. I was saying, "Okay, God, you've given me this gift, but because of the work I do, this is what I must do." And when I finally let God out of that box and say, "Lord, what do you want from me? What's your goal? What's your vision for my life?" That's when our partnership really took off, and we got together, talked through the book, we began writing it together, and we put together three chapters, sent it off to a literary agent, and he said, "Wow, that's actually pretty good. Why don't you write a few more?" So we wrote a few more and sent those off. He said, "Write a few more," and we kept doing that, and then 6 months later, we had a book.
Well, many Christian authors have actually come to the conclusion that a novel is a good way to teach theology or doctrine, or a way to sort of bring non-Christians into an understanding of what Christianity and what the gospel really is. So did you sort of come to that conclusion through prayer?
Yeah. I mean, I read so much, but so much of what I read really has no point. They're just fun stories, and our thought was, if we were going to write this novel, this fiction book, we want there to be a purpose. We want there to be a point, and our whole goal, or one of our primary goals in this was to have some guy who never steps foot in a church, but who loves football and spends all day Saturday watching college football, all day Sunday watching pro football, have him receive this book from a friend and be drawn in because of the action and because of the football. And as he's reading, he's suddenly surprised by the truth of who Jesus is, who the true Jesus is, surprised by the truth of what it means to be a godly man in tough circumstances. That's really when we came to that point of seeing that, this could be a very effective tool for communicating God's truth to people who wouldn't normally pick up a book. That's mm-hmm. when we really ran mm-hmm. with it.
Okay, the central character is Riley Covington. And Jason, you've got Riley, and of course he's a football player. Did you consider putting him on your team, the Broncos?
Well, the background on Riley is I modeled, Steve and I both modeled him after a good friend of mine that played with us on the Broncos during the mid-90s, a guy named Steve Russ. And we just thought that was another interesting little dynamic that we could bring in about. Steve was a former Air Force Academy graduate, and we thought that was kind of a neat thing that these guys, they graduate, but they have this 4 or 5 year military obligation that they have to fulfill. And that's exactly what Steve did, and he fulfilled that military obligation, came back and played with us at the Broncos. So that's almost exactly what we do with Riley, as we describe that whole process. And Riley, at the very beginning of the book, he's off fighting in Afghanistan, fulfilling that military obligation. He comes back to play for the local team, and then he's drawn back into his former Air Force Special Ops career through a series of pretty traumatic events.
All right. Jason Elam and Steve Yon are my guests. We're talking about their novel, Monday Night Jihad. And we're going to continue that discussion. If you'd like to give them a call and ask them a question about it, or you can ask Jason a question about the NFL, the number is 800-881-9270. I know something I'm going to ask him, and that is, who's going to win the Super Bowl? You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. I'm Penna Dexter. Again, give us a call, 800-881-9270, and you can join our discussion with Jason Elam and Steve Yon right after this.
The Bible says for every time there is a season, and this is a new season at the Criswell College in Dallas. Enroll now for the spring term.
Criswell College has a practical, intense, and comprehensive approach to ministry training. We provide encounter missions and get students out into the churches and into the world so they can learn by application and experience. We cover all aspects of ministry, from counseling to biblical languages, from Jewish and Old Testament studies to New Testament studies, from the ancient world to modern cultures. I'm Dr. Barry Creamer, and as Associate Professor of Humanities, I get to know the students, and I'm excited about their personal vision for ministry. Come to Criswell College, and let's impact the world together for Christ. Call 800-899-0012. That's 800-899-0012, or check us out on the web at criswell.edu.
The Criswell College in Dallas.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
This is the day in which we celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who did so much to combat racism by using nonviolence and prayer. And then, even beyond that, brought us to a much greater understanding of tolerance and equality of opportunity.
The mayor, Rudy Giuliani, talking about Martin Luther King, but is Mayor Giuliani going to make a comeback in Florida? That race is really fluid. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the program. Also, we'll discuss Dr. King, his life, and his legacy. But at this moment, we are talking with Denver Broncos two-time Super Bowl winning kicker Jason Elam. He's kicking off a new career, an added career, with the release of Monday Night Jihad, released this month by Tyndale. And it's a novel he co-authored with his pastor, Steve Yon, from the Denver area. And it really combines, Jason, some of your loves, football, current events, and your faith. And tell us a little bit about the process of writing this thing. How do you co-write a novel with your pastor?
You know, I think the whole process was something that we were... It wasn't supposed to happen, really. We were warned not to do it the way that we did it.
I can imagine.
And, you know, our literary agent, our publisher even said, you know, we've never even heard of it happening like this. But, you know, I think the chemistry was just perfect between Steve and I. We have a lot of the same, you know, quirkiness with our sense of humor and where we wanted to take this story. And, you know, when we would write, you know, I tried to give him as much freedom and leeway with the storyline as I could, and he did the same for me. And we would sit down and talk it through. Of, you know what, that wasn't quite, you know, I don't think that was right in this area or that area. And he would do the same, and we just talk it all through. And eventually, you know, we would revise, and it would turn out just like we wanted it. And so we just had a great time doing it. It didn't seem like a lot of work or that it was that hard, and I think that it is just another thing of, you know, being a God thing, and that's what we attributed it to through the whole process.
Okay, here's what our friend Joel Rosenberg, who's been a guest on this show many times, and he wrote the best-selling series of books, starting with The Last Jihad. He says it's a chilling ride through a nightmare scenario. Also, Tony Dungy loved Monday Night Jihad. And of course, he's got his own novel, but he is the Indianapolis Colts coach. So we've got some football greats who are becoming authors, and I think this is a lot of fun. Now, Steve, I want you to answer this question. That is, was it as easy as Jason says it was?
You know, how do I answer that? I would say yes and no. The partnership was really that easy. You would think working with a sports star that really it would be my way or the highway, but both of us were able to really check our egos at the door. This was not a Jason Elam thing, and it wasn't a Steve Yon thing. It was a God thing, and because of that, when either one of us would come with an idea and the other one would say, "Boy, that's just not working for me," we would sit and we would pray about it, and we would wait on God until the issue was resolved. So that part of it was very easy. The writing itself, it was definitely a learning process.
Writing is always difficult.
Yeah, but it was so much fun as we would get into the chapters and meet the characters and hear the words coming out of the voices and see their personalities develop. It was like no other experience I've ever had. It was so fun, and we are enjoying doing the very same thing with book two in the series.
Right, you're working on a second book, and you all are, of course, talking to radio shows like ours and other outlets to promote this. But I understand, Jason, that you are taking a trip next week to the Middle East.
I am. I'm very excited about that. About 4 years ago, I was able to do a similar trip over to Kosovo and visit the troops, watch the Super Bowl with them, and I was approached about 3 weeks ago from the same group through the NFL and the military and asked if I would be willing to go over to Iraq and do the same thing, sit and watch the Super Bowl with the troops and encourage them, hang out for the whole week with them, and so I'm just really excited about that. I had a great time on the last one, and I'm just, you know, I love what the troops do. My brother, he just got back serving a tour over in Iraq, and I just want a chance to go over and thank them personally.
Well, I think it's really encouraging that you would write this book. I'm sure that will encourage a lot of the folks that you meet. You'll probably be taking signed copies. But that comes to my next question. Who do you predict to be the winner?
Who's playing? I'm just kidding. The Broncos aren't in, so I wasn't that interested. But,
oh, my goodness.
You know, it's hard to pull against New England. I mean, they've showed that they are clearly the best team going in, and they're just a tough, tough team. So I can't imagine anybody beating them right now.
Folks, I'm going to give you a chance if you want to ask Jason a question about football, 800-881-9270. But, Steve, I want to ask you, what are your hopes and your dreams for this book? Who do you expect and hope will read it?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we want this to get in the hands of Christians who need to be encouraged, who need to see what it means to walk through hard times and keep a godly attitude. We want it to get in the hands of people who don't know the Lord, and again, through reading this, to be surprised by the truth. That's we were asked a little while back, what is our definition of success for this book, and it's not to sell tons of copies. What we want are changed lives. And when lives are changed, that's when we would see that this is a true successful book. Otherwise, it's just another story. And there's tons of stories out there. There's thousands of stories out there. I've read a whole bunch of them. And they're just, you read them and then you put them down and you forget about them. But we've gone with this attitude that if we can write something that people will pick up, and when they put it back down, something has changed in their life. They've drawn closer to God. Maybe they've met God for the first time. That's when we see that yeah, this work was really worth it.
This book sounds like something great to get the young men in your life. Sometimes girls tend to be readers to a greater degree than young men, and so that's what I would suggest. And Steve, tell us how people can find out more about the book.
Well, we have a website, www.mondaynightjihad.com. And it can give you a lot of background on the book. You can download some chapters. One of the great things that's on there is Jason's testimony, and people can see the journey that God has taken him on, and really be encouraged through that. So visit the website, or you can find the book in any Christian bookstore or Barnes & Noble, Borders, anything like that.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. And Jason, I want to give you the last word. Anything to add about your hopes and dreams for this book and the next?
You know, Steve pretty well summed it up. And at the very end of the book, for all the listeners that might go out and buy it, I wrote a little one-page little excerpt that addresses that exact point, is that, you know, I feel like that there are so many people out there that have a distorted view of who the real Jesus is, and that's why we're writing this book, is to, you know, the football stories are all fun and great, and the whole military angle, that, you know, that the thriller angle, that people might enjoy that, but everything was done to try to point people back to the real Jesus. And so again, that's our hope and our prayer for this book.
All right, Jason, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me today. The book is Monday Night Jihad, published by Tyndale. The first in a series, it combines football, it combines radical Islam, it combines adventure and also Christian testimony, and it sounds like a great novel, and I highly recommend it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking presidential politics today. We're coming off of the South Carolina primary. Presidential candidate Mitt Romney, of course, did win in Nevada, didn't do so well in South Carolina, but he's now in Florida campaigning with the others and talking about Martin Luther King. He says Martin Luther King demonstrated that one person can make a dramatic impact on an entire society.
Martin Luther King as an individual opened the doors to bringing down so many of the barriers that had kept so many people from having their full potential realized. And showed, again, what one person can do.
And let's go now to Dr. King himself. This is Dr. King speaking in Memphis, Tennessee, April 1968. This is on the eve of his assassination, offering his vision for a better America.
I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
That is Dr. Martin Luther King. Later in the program, in fact, in the next segment, we are going to be talking about him. We will take your calls during that segment. If you have any comments on the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, what did his life mean to you? Do you have a positive view or a negative view of Dr. Martin Luther King? You know, conservatives did not and do not agree with all of Dr. Martin Luther King's political positions. But there are some messages for Christians. What are those messages for believers and also for Americans today? And how could his message help the black community navigate some of the minefields that still exist for them? We are going to hear more from Dr. King himself and also discuss his legacy. We will air an interview that KCBI's John McClain did with Dr. Larry Mercer. Next on Jerry Johnson Live. And again, we will take your calls at 800-881-9270. Is there anything that is important about the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King in your life? What did Dr. Martin Luther King mean to you? Is there anything about his message that really strikes a chord with you as we celebrate his birthday today? Again, give us a call, 881-9270. That's 800-881-9270. You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live.
Listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Famous words from a famous speech, Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and it was given on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He evoked the name of Lincoln in the speech, and this speech is credited with mobilizing supporters of desegregation and prompting the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And, of course, that's been the subject of some discussion in the presidential campaign in recent days. But the very next year, after the speech was given, Dr. King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. President Bush also speaking today about Dr. King. He spoke in Washington, honoring Martin Luther King Jr. He said King deserves a day in his honor.
Martin Luther King is a towering figure in the history of our country. And it is fitting that we honor his service and his courage and his vision.
President Bush said that Dr. King represented the best of America.
Our fellow citizens have got to understand that by loving a neighbor like you'd like to be loved yourself, by reaching out to someone who hurts, by just simply living a life of kindness and compassion, you can make America a better place and fulfill the dream of Martin Luther King.
As promised, we are taking your calls at 800-881-9270. What does the life of Martin Luther King mean to you? And let's go to Arlington and speak with Stan. Hi, Stan. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I agree with Bush there when he talks about Dr. King's courage. And that's one of the things that really stands out when I think about him, for him to do what he did at a time where, Jim Crow laws were prevailing, especially in the South, and him standing up against that.
Do you think he made a big difference?
Excuse me?
Do you think he made a big difference?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What we have to remember as well is when you have unjust laws out there, that civil disobedience is definitely in order. Now, obviously, if you have just laws, we're obligated to obey the laws. But, man, when they're unjust, if nothing is done to stand up against that, then you're just really allowing injustice to continue. The other thing I like to mention as well is when you listen to his I Have a Dream speech, and this kind of dawned upon me, I guess, about really last year. Now I think about it as I was thinking about what he said and what in his speech. The backdrop of that speech had an economic emphasis to it. If you listen to it, if you catch that, it's kind of read between the lines. And I think for African Americans in particular, we have to continue to make sure that we're providing for our families, we're mm-hmm. collectively working together, having strong businesses in our communities, and really having a strong
economic
base so that we can just support our communities, and our communities will be thriving and safe and great for our kids and our kids' kids.
I've got to jump in, Stan, because we've got to go to this interview. But I will say that, in a sense, I think Dr. King advocated big government a little bit more than most conservatives would. And Stan makes a very good point that the black community certainly needs to put an emphasis on achievement and independence, especially with their young people growing up. Well, I want to go to this interview. It's with Dr. Larry Mercer. He has taught at Criswell College and also Moody Bible Institute. And he also hosted an expository teaching program on KCBI for more than 20 years. Since 2005, he has been president of the Washington Bible College and Capital Bible Seminary in Lana, Maryland. And KCBI's John McClain interviewed him this morning on the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. Here's that interview.
As we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today, share some thoughts with us a little bit, if you will. Who is Dr. King to you, and what does he mean in our nation today?
Well, he's certainly one of my heroes. That's why I was so pleased to have the opportunity to be a part of this time today. I would say Martin Luther King had the ability to see things that others could not see. He dreamed things that others would not even allow themselves to imagine. And then God gave him that extraordinary capacity to speak in a tenor and tone that inspired people to look beyond color and class to see the importance of character. So to me, he embodies what I think we all should aspire to be. And if you look back on our nation's history, at a very critical time, he galvanized the nation around the whole idea of people can look beyond their own personal benefit to see the collective benefit of others. And now we still benefit from the shadow of his life. So he was truly a man who made a tremendous impact at a very strategic point in time. But perhaps the most significant thing that would mark his life is that famous quote where he said, "I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character." That gave our nation, I think, a focus that was very important. So those are some of the initial thoughts that I have about Dr. King. And I think if you were to talk to people of all races and classes, they would reflect some of those same sentiments.
Dr. Mercer, as I consider Dr. King in my own life, and as I reflect on what he means to me, I think of peace through strength, because Dr. King certainly was a man who believed in peace. However, he believed there was tremendous power in peaceful protest. Talk a little bit about peace through strength and his legacy.
I think you really hit on a very important aspect of his life. He went through a great deal to illustrate that. I mean, you think about the famous Edmund Pettus Bridge incident, which was really a key event in our nation's history that brought the attention of our nation to really, in some ways, some of the most the greatest illustrations of inhumanity toward humanity. And in the face of all that pain, where all those marchers were subjected to all that abuse, he still focused on his purpose, and that was to call the attention of the nation to the fact that there were a group of people that were not realizing the true expression of our nation. So he focused, and in the midst of that protest and pain, he maintained an attitude of peace. And that's what I think it paralyzed those who were his antagonists. They said, what manner of man is this who will be able to withstand such pain and struggle for the sake of his call? That, to me, illustrates what you're saying, that peace through strength. And out of that peaceful response to the pain he experienced, it really caused a whole series of legislation to be written that we all benefit from today.
Our special guest today is Dr. Larry Mercer. He's the current president of the Washington Bible College and Capital Bible Seminary, and a good friend of ours here to KCBI. Talking about Dr. King, let's talk about today, Dr. Mercer. Where are we today in terms of what Dr. King dreamed of in the future of the nation that he loved so much? How are we doing today, do you think?
Well, I think anyone who understands where we've come from would have to admit that we have made great strides. I mean, I am the president of a college and a seminary, a major college and seminary in many ways, because of the legacy he set forth. There are people all over our country who enjoy a great privilege. But I think anyone who also understands the fact that we do have a nation that still is too often still divided by race and class. So I think we can celebrate the great contribution that Dr. King has made. We can celebrate the achievements that people like myself enjoy because of his life. But I think what it does, it calls each one of us to ask ourselves the question, how can I seize the platform that God has given me and leverage that platform to benefit the lives of others? So we have made great strides, but I think we still have room to go. I think when you think about what many, many, many people have said, it's not overstated. I think because it's such a true reality that Sunday morning is still at 11 o'clock, is still the most segregated hour in America. That makes a huge statement about where we need to go. And until we live out in the fullest sense of Dr. King's words, the dream that people would be judged from the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, that I think we should keep striving. I think one of the things I'm excited about, though, when you look at what's happening even in the political spectrum, to see that we have a man who is an African-American who is in a very serious competition for the top government spot in our country, that makes huge statements about the contribution of Dr. King's life and how far we've come.
Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't take very many calls because of this interview on Dr. King. So if you'd like to call in and if you have a comment about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, give us a call, 800-881-9270. I think one of the things I appreciate about his legacy is this idea of a colorblind society, that America should be a society in which we don't discriminate or give preference based on race. Either discriminate or give preference based on race. And I think that was a message. Perhaps some of that has been distorted in the ensuing years. But give us a call. Talk about Dr. King. Also, Christians were a bit surprised that Mike Huckabee, didn't win the South Carolina primary. So do these results scramble the race for you? What if Fred Thompson drops out? Where will his supporters go? We'll take your calls on that next on Jerry Johnson Live.
When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Again, we celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King today. If you would like to talk about it, Give us a call, 800-881-9270. Any thoughts on the changes in the presidential race? What if Fred Thompson drops out? Where will his votes go? Have you changed who you support? 800-881-9270. Stay with us for more of Jerry Johnson Live.
The Bible says for every time there is a season, and this is a new season at the Criswell College in Dallas. Enroll now for the spring term.
Criswell College has a practical, intense, and comprehensive approach to ministry training. We provide encounter missions and get students out into the churches and into the world so they can learn by application and experience. We cover all aspects of ministry, from counseling to biblical languages, from Jewish and Old Testament studies to New Testament studies, from the ancient world to modern cultures. I'm Dr. Barry Creamer, and as Associate Professor of Humanities, I get to know the students, and I'm excited about their personal vision for ministry. Come to Criswell College, and let's impact the world together for Christ. Call 800-899-0012. That's 800-899-0012, or check us out on the web at criswell.edu.
The Criswell College in Dallas.
Listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
I'm only going to talk to you just for a minute or so this evening because I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Bobby Kennedy, on April 4th, 1968, announcing to a group in Indianapolis that Martin Luther King Jr. had been assassinated. And, of course, it wasn't much later that he himself was also assassinated. And we are taking your calls on the life and legacy of Martin Luther King. Let me first go, though, to Chuck Norris, because he weighed in on the victory John McCain in South Carolina at a campaign rally for Mike Huckabee. Here's Chuck Norris.
John, I feel at 72, to take over the presidency, you know, look at the presidents from the past. Look at George W. Look how he's aged in 7 years. He's aged 3-1 in 7 years. And I'm thinking now, if John takes over the presidency at 72, and if he ages 3-1, how old will he be in 4 years? He'll be 84 years old. Now, can he handle that kind of pressure in that job? And so that's why I didn't pick John to support, because I'm just afraid that the vice president will wind up taking over his job within that 4 year presidency.
I think Chuck Norris needs a calculator. 72 plus 4 is not 84, it's 76. And Ronald Reagan was pretty old when he was president, and I think he's considered one of the greats. I don't really call age the factor with John McCain. I have other issues with him. Chuck Norris is aging John McCain 3 years for every 1 year. But let's go to the phones and take your calls, which we promised to do. Ben is in Oklahoma. Ben, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm curious about one thing with respect to the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., and just to be clear, I am wanting to celebrate as much as possible Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, particularly his anti-segregation, and I am certainly not a racist person. I think that we should strive for equality of all the races before God and strive also for that before man. However, as Christians, I'm wondering why we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as a Christian hero when it's a well-known fact that he had numerous extramarital affairs and certainly did not live out his own quote that we should be judging people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I'm glad you brought it up.
If Christian integrity is something that we should really look for in people, I definitely think that while there are many aspects of Dr. King's life that we can look to as models, in terms of his Christian spirituality, he's definitely lacking.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought it up. I wasn't going to. But, of course, we as conservatives and Christians like to see consistency in the lives of our leaders. And there's certain areas of Dr. King's life that are not exemplary, and so we should not celebrate them. And so I appreciate you bringing that up, Ben, and I think he did have a good message about civil rights, about peace, and about certain ways in which the black community should behave. But his life was not an example in the moral area. So thank you for bringing that up. Let's go to Joyce in Rockwall. Hi, Joyce. Thanks for calling. I think we may have lost Joyce. Joyce, are you there? Okay, let's go to Willie in Dallas. Willie, thank you very much for calling. You're on Jerry Johnson Live.
Hello. Thank you for letting me come on. I would like to have a comment about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. From what we heard, we hear this about him not having a good moral life after he passed away. And I'm not saying it's not true. It could be true because many leaders have lived a life that was not up to standard to the word of God. And it wasn't just called the color of skin, but any race, any past, anybody can get out of line and fall short of God's word. But we don't know whether or not he really repented or not before he left this world either. Because the Bible said we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And there's no little sins and no big sins going to make it to heaven.
Well, there is little forgiveness in
lies,
Jesus Christ. And I think
medium lies not going to make it to heaven.
There is
sin Dr. King committed, he might have repented of it. We don't know. But he probably did what he's been accused of after he died.
All right. Thank you, Willie. Appreciate your call. And, you know, you make a good point. Of course, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And each one of us is a sinner. And we have sins that we can confess and be forgiven from. And I have no idea if Dr. King confessed those sins of infidelity or not. But I do think it puts a damper on the man himself, and I think that was important to bring up here at the end of the program. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us today. I do want to mention our program tomorrow. It's going to be very interesting. Bill Dembski will join us, and he will talk about the issue of intelligent design. And we'll also have an update from the March for Life in Washington, D.C. with the Director of Legislative Issues with the Free Market Foundation. And I had the opportunity this weekend to be part of the March for Life here in Dallas, and it was just an awesome event because we marched from the plaza at the cathedral downtown at Ross and Pearl to the Earl Cobble Building, which is the building where Roe versus Wade, where the case was filed originally in 1970 in Texas, where Norma McCorvey, who had been the victim of rape and who was just a homeless woman, actually had that case filed by two Texas lawyers. And Henry Wade was the district attorney here, Henry Wade, and he actually represented the state of Texas. And that case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and of course, the rest is history. And we had a wonderful time of commemorating the Roe versus Wade decision, praying that the case, which began there in Dallas, would end and that our prayers would be a catalyst for that. And of course, there are so many really pieces of good news with regard to abortion. Public opinion is changing about it. Certain laws are reducing abortions. Abortion is at the lowest level in over 30 years, a new report out. But still, there are 1.2 million abortions every year, and that is absolutely way too many. Also, later in the week, we will have Senator Jim DeMint. He'll join us on Wednesday, and Dr. Richard Land will be joining us on Friday, which ought to be a lot of fun. We always enjoy having Dr. Land with us on the program. But I do want to talk a little bit about South Carolina before we end. We've only got about a minute to go to say that, you know, this is kind of stirred up the race, this win by John McCain. And you have to wonder about Mike Huckabee, whether or not he is now going to, by staying in the race, advance the prospects for John McCain to win the nomination. In a sense, I think he is the anti-Mitt Romney right now, and he's taking votes from Mitt Romney and probably helping John McCain. I'm beginning to doubt about the chances of Mike Huckabee, since he's basically not broken out of the evangelical community. So that's what I have to say in analysis of the South Carolina race. But who knows? Everything continues to change. It continues to be in flux. It gives us a lot to talk about on Jerry Johnson Live. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow.
You've been listening to Jerry Johnson Live, a Christian worldview radio show. Join Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for an hour of relevant discussion of news and culture from a Christian perspective.